How many times in your life have you said, "Lord, have mercy"? You probably can't count the times, because every time you come to Mass, we use that, even though sometimes we don't even think about it. We say, "Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy," and frequently that's all we do is say it. But think about what you are asking for. Think about what you are asking for. It's not just something to fill in space. We're not just saying this just to have something to say because we've always done it that way. We are asking for something very specific. But before we can ask for it, we have to acknowledge that we have need of it. And that means that we have to acknowledge that somehow we have offended our God. And we have need of His mercy. And what His mercy is basically is this: it's a freely loving given gift that there's absolutely nothing in the world we can do to earn. It is a gift. And it's acknowledging that somehow this very gracious and generous and merciful God that we turn to has somehow chosen to allow me to have that because He loves us, because He loves each and every one of us. So before we can truly say, "Lord, have mercy," we have to somehow within ourselves know that we have a need of that gracious gift that God gives to us, that He won for us by His suffering and death and rising. And it means that when I'm asking for that mercy, that I've done something that I know needs to be mended. And God is the one who mends it. Now, think about the apostles. Here they are after Jesus' suffering and death, scared to death. Most of them just ran. They didn't want to be anywhere near what was happening to our Lord. Even though for 3 years, two to three years, they were afraid. And who wouldn't be? I mean, you know, you got soldiers coming after a perfectly good person and persecuting him and killing him. And you were known as a follower of this person. So you'd probably be kind of scared too. Most of us are. Peter even went so far as to deny that he even knew him. But they all ran, except John. John stayed around. He stayed with the Blessed Virgin and watched. So here they are gathered together now in that same upper room. And all of a sudden, they're saying to each other, probably, "What are we going to do? How do we ever make this up to Him? How can we ever say, 'I'm sorry for running away from you in your need. I'm sorry I wasn't there to at least offer some kind of support.' How am I going to ask you to forgive me and to where we were before?" So all of these thoughts probably going through their minds. How could I ever have done that to the one that I profess to love? How could I do that to the one who said, "You are going to be the head of my church"? How could I do that? So this is probably going through their minds. And Jesus is suddenly there. That in itself should probably startle anybody. That all of a sudden He's there in their midst. The place is all locked up and He's standing there. You can imagine the fear that they had before had probably taken about a thousand-mile leap forward. But how does Jesus handle all of this? He simply says to them, "Peace. Peace. I understand. I forgive. I love you. Peace." Everything is restored. That order is restored. You have nothing to fear. And not only that, after he says that to them and extends that extraordinary mercy that only God can give, after he does that, he breathes on them. He breathes the Spirit of God on them and says, whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Whose sins you retain are retained. So not only does he extend his own, that powerful gift of mercy, he gives it to us and says, you are to give that to one another. You are to bring that into this world. The world needs it desperately. All you have to do is look around at the hatred and the desire for vengeance and the getting even and the senselessness that we see all around our world today. And we say, what can we do about that? We can be what Christ has empowered us to be and expects us to be. He expects us, not just the apostles and those in that upper room, but he expects all of us to be his face in this world. So we can't say, well, one person can do that, you know, one person. We have some people that are really good at that. You know, they're very kind and very merciful and very understanding, very patient, very. So that excuses me from doing that. I can be who I am. But that isn't what Jesus said to us. He gave the job to all of us. He gave it to all of us as a church. So it's the mission of the church in this world to be the merciful face of Christ to everyone in this world. And we, as individual members of that church, have an obligation to assume the role that Christ has given to us. So we talk about Divine Mercy Sunday. It's become a very special day in recent years, in which we celebrate what Christ did for all of us. That he came to teach us a way of life. He embraced our sinfulness on himself, took it to the cross and died, offered it as himself as a sacrifice to the Father. And the Father, in receiving that sacrifice, that gift, raised him and said, now I want you to give life to all of these, my people. They are to do what you do, what you did. They are to bring to the world the mercy, the forgiveness, the peace that you brought. And so Jesus extends that to us. He said he breathes on us the Spirit of God. And that's not some imaginary thing that we maybe dream up and think, oh, what a clever idea. It is the Spirit of God who is actually breathed into every one of us. And he says, now, with that Spirit within you, you are to breathe my face to all people. You are to be Christ to all people. So it's a big task. It's a big task. It should make us think a little bit that when we pray, Lord, have mercy, what am I really asking for? It's not only for mercy and forgiveness, that loving, healing gift for myself. I'm asking that for all God's people. I'm asking that for all the world. I'm supposed to model that for all of the world. Think about that today on this Divine Mercy Sunday. Think about what Christ has empowered us to be and to do. Think about what he extends to us. None of us deserves the forgiveness for whatever we have done in our lives. None of us deserves or merits that forgiveness. It is only as a gift of a God who loves us more than he can say. When I say, Lord, have mercy, I'm begging him for that gift, but I have to beg it for all of the world. And we know that our world needs that today. But the mission is not just one or two. It wasn't just the 12. Jesus breathes that same spirit on us. So it becomes our mission to be the face of Christ in this world.